21. A Russian immigrant woman was living in New York. She longed for home. She had no family, as far as we know. She had no support, no money, and few options. So she set off home for Russia on foot. She carried a small shoulder bag, a wrench for protection from bears and men, and a stuffed dog. I'm not kidding. Records have been found of her passage across America, through British Columbia to the Yukon over a period of 3 years. She was arrested in Vancouver, so we have that record, for carrying a hidden weapon listed at that time as a large knife, which she said was for use on any men who bothered her. But they released her, and she carried on, always on foot. There are mythologized stories about her being seen in Alaska begging for a rowboat. There are contested stories of her being seen on the Russian coast. Her name in English was Lillian Ayling. She walked home, a distance of almost uncounted miles. One of the most common metaphors for the spiritual life is the journey, but in our culture, it has become an oversimplified image. Rather, the way people say, I don't need to go to church, I can have a spiritual experience walking in nature. This is absolutely true, sometimes a great one. But an hour's walk on the dike is as if the spiritual journey can be a recreational choice. Time out from life rather than the foundation for life or life itself. We often reduce the story of the Magi, the wise ones, arriving to see the Christ child in the same way. The Magi become an optional extra, partly to avoid the violence at the end of the story. They stand at the manger by the shepherds as if they dropped in from across the road for a visit. But the biblical story, although it's brief, is very different. It implies that the Magi had been traveling for years, arriving likely not at the birth, but perhaps 3 years later. The Magi and their journey is a story that has its roots in things that may have actually happened. But it is something more. It is a metaphor, it is an allegory, and it's a symbol. Now, there's no test after this, but for the moment. A metaphor is a comparison with a specific thing. The steps of the Magi are a metaphor for the steps we take toward discovery. An allegory, though, is a story where the whole of the story expresses an idea or gradually brings about understanding or revelation, but often over a long period of time. And if you think of some of your favorite books, the ones that you go back to and read again and again, like that. A symbol is something that stands for something else. A symbol holds both the metaphor and the allegory. Reminders of very complex stories, very complex ideas. The cross, the cradle, the star. The story of the Magi and their journey is all of those things, metaphor, allegory, and symbol. We have a tendency to just reduce it to a metaphor of something easy and simple. It can become grandiose rather than grand, something couched in gold and decorated with jewels, but losing real richness. So I'd like to tell the story in a slightly different way. T.S. Eliot wrote a famous or infamous poem called The Journey of the Magi, and I'm going to read portions of it. A cold coming we had of it, just the worst time of the year, for a journey, and such a long journey, the ways deep and the weather sharp, the very dead of winter. The camels galled, sore-footed, refractory, lying down in the melting snow. There were times we regretted the summer palaces on slopes, the terraces, and the silken girls bringing sherbet. Then the camel men cursing and grumbling and running away and wanting their liquor and women, and the night fires going out and the lack of shelters, the cities hostile and the towns unfriendly, the villages dirty and charging high prices. A hard time we had of it. The poem continues, and it ends not in grandeur but confusion and melancholy. He says, and arriving at evening, not a moment too soon, finding the place, it was, you might say, satisfactory. All this was a long time ago, I remember, and I would do it again, but set it down, set this down, this, where we led all that way for birth or death. Eliot ignored the grandiose, and instead his allegory captures the hardship of the journey, the wrangling with people, the confusion that the great and the holy is encountered and not understood. And the teller of the story says, we return to our palaces, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation, with an alien people clutching their gods. But remember, he has said, all this was a long time ago, I remember, and I would do it again. When we read about the Magi, we read an allegory of a lifetime's journey, so often traveled at night, seeking we aren't sure what, not even sure when we found it, whether it's a birth or a death. The death of the life before, our death. The death of someone or something else. The death of the person we thought we were. The birth of something, someone wholly and entirely new that is wondrous and yet absolutely not what we expected or wanted. And here is a strange thing. There are the journeys we choose, the journeys we are forced into, and the journeys that we are on that we don't know we're on. Many of us, we choose to travel. We have the luxury of travel to distant parts. We see Paris, but not Prince George. Beijing, not Tuktoyaktuk. Those travels can be renewing, transforming, frustrating. Some of us have taken great journeys we did not want. Refugees from somewhere that we loved, like Mary and Joseph, fleeing from Herod with a child across desert and borders, on foot, possibly. But the interesting thing to me is these days our journeys are almost invisible to us, our actual journeys. Take an elevator. You get in a room in one place, you get out in a different place, and the transition has been invisible. You do not see the level rising or the people falling away. The energy and effort are invisible. Electricity comes hundreds of miles on thousands of miles of wire with construction of enormous structures, a vast array of towers, a forest of poles that were once proud pines. We don't see it. We drive or bus for miles. The changes in terrain have been obliterated by asphalt, regularized by roadways and streams covered. Even the neighborhoods and the people we pass through or pass by are barely seen and often entirely unknown to us. But the journeys people once made on foot seem, though shorter often, impossible to us. We who fly above birds and leave the atmosphere of the earth feel that the journeys made by our ancestors on foot, in canoes, on longboats, are impossible. We can imagine flying, but we can't imagine walking that far. How strange is that? The philosopher John Caputo says that the loss of journeying on foot has obscured from us the truth of the world, of where we are and who we are. We no longer comprehend the relationships between one place and another, and this has caused us to have unmoored our understanding of ourselves. Ourselves are unrooted and untethered to the relationships that in space and time and reality that would show us who we are and whose we are. Journeys on foot have become unfashionable, not normal, even just in our own neighborhoods, so much so they seem impossible. Walking to the mall, unlikely. Walking to Vancouver, impossible. The simplest acts of travel and discovery seen as extraordinary. We think about the most basic of human activities, walking, as inappropriate, not normal. And those greater things that they represent also become ridiculous. Spiritual journey is either entirely metaphorical, something you do sitting inside or on a short walk on the dike, or something too difficult that we're unable to do. When I was thinking about this sermon, I have to tell you I got lost. Maybe you can tell. The story of the journey is so rich. I wandered off. I went on a virtual trip through the wilds of considering the reality of truth and the truth of reality. That was several hours. I stumbled on the metaphors around walking in the dark. I got sidetracked in a virtual conversation with some philosophers about the nature of spatial relationships. And then the idea that the Magi came from far away but are in fact symbols of the prophecy that through Jesus all the nations will come and bow before him and through Israel all nations will be blessed. And then I encountered a group of ghostly memories from theology school about searching for the impossible possible. Don't worry. I found I'd circled back somehow to the story of Lillian Ayling, walking from New York to Alaska and perhaps beyond. And the journey of Lillian captures our attention because it's more recent and it hasn't really been tamed yet. It's literally an incredible journey. We can't quite believe it. And yet, it is just a story about walking. The story of the Magi asks us to take an amazing journey of discovery across nations, kingdoms, religions, a literally cosmic act of following a star based on the simplest act of the human body, one of the very first things a child learns, just walking. Every act of our lives may be part of a spiritual journey that we aren't always aware of. So as you walk, you find something new. The spiritual journey, which we sometimes see as not for us, or somebody else does that, those who are saintly or committed or something else, we're on that journey whether we know it or not. And so as you walk this year, as you walk short distances, long distances, choose to notice the journey you are on, the wonder of it, the grandeur, the cosmic nature of it, and yet the ordinariness of it, that the very nature of walking is that you almost always have one foot on the ground and one in the air. We're going to sing, O Laughing Light.